Good morning. It's nice to be with you today. I apologize for missing last week. I got the kind of the old common flu that seems like supposedly no one has had in the last 2 years except for me. But anyway, I woke up one morning and my head was pounding and I was coughing. I spent probably about 5 hours solid one night coughing. Couldn't get it stopped anyway, and it was bad. So Nancy says, you better go get a COVID test. I said, well, let's do that, dear. So we had a COVID test, and I said, I'm pretty sure it's just the common flu. She said, well, yeah. So we had a COVID test, negative. 2 days later, I think you need another COVID test. I said, it's the common flu, honey. But anyway, I had another COVID test. It was negative. I said, I'm not going back for another one. It's the common flu. And it knocked me down quite a bit. I actually missed a class or two. I don't know when that's happened. Growing up on the farm, you had to milk the cow every morning, whether you felt like it or not, and not just kind of going with life that way. But with all the COVID stuff, I knew everybody's a little bit on edge about everything. So I would have gone and taught a class or two, but I thought, no, I better not. I'll just relax and let someone else do that. But it's nice to be with you today. Ken, you're making the announcement about the man with a tree falling on him. Wow. I've thought of how many times that could have been me. Some of you are thinking the same thing. Before we went to Australia, I think it was after I'd gone to Harding Graduate School, was working a bit, I went home and a big tree on the north side of my parents' house had died. So I was always a pretty active kid, you know. So I said, you have a chainsaw, Daddy? He said, yeah. So I got up in the tree and started cutting the tree down. Let's see, I forgot. This branch above me I cut, which fell on the branch I was standing on, and snapped it off. I went quickly to the ground from about 18 to 20 foot up with the chainsaw in my hand. Thankfully, I chucked the chainsaw. I landed on a branch that had already been cut and just knocked the air out of me. Thankfully, I survived that. When we were going to Australia, did you know we had to do a full body x-ray? The doctor said, so when did you break those two ribs? So maybe it's when that cow ran into me and headbutted me a few times. Maybe it was, you know, it might have been then. Of course, 2 years ago, I was cutting a branch of a tree at home, wasn't I? And I extended the extension ladder as far as it could go. I got out on the, not the top rung, the second top rung, and was cutting a branch. Something had just upset me. I don't upset easily. Something had upset me. Instead of going really slowly, letting the branches hang on and come back, I went there. The branch swung out, and I looked out of the corner of my eye. Here it came back at me. It hit me in the side, knocked me off the ladder from 18 foot or so. I chucked the chainsaw, landed on my paddywampus, and it was not good. We hear things, don't we? And we think that reminds us. Wow. I want to relate to you guys. I got a call from Frank Cunningham, the preacher in Campbelltown, on Friday. And one of the dear sisters in the church there, Shirley, she passed away unexpectedly. Shirley was one of the people in the church that whenever Nancy and I returned, she didn't become a Christian while we were there. She became a Christian after we left, and we got to meet her. When we met her, Shirley was working in a dairy, carrying food and other things to animals. She did that job for 5 to 7 years. It's the only job she could get at the time. And she just did it and did it enthusiastically. She was just a bright spark. I had a couple of students that went with me that were not in good places when they went. And after being around Shirley, they were in much better places. She's a beautiful lady. And she passed, so she had gallbladder surgery and came through the surgery okay, and then the next morning had a massive heart attack and passed away. So I know the church in Campbelltown would love your prayers and your thoughts in the loss of Shirley. That's going to be a big impact for that congregation. If any of you can go to Affirming the Faith, as Ken said, it's a really great program. A lot of good speakers, a lot of good teachers. It'll get you some different ideas to think about. I always love it. Nancy and I go. We've gone, I think, every year. And it's just really an encouraging time. I hope you can fit that into your schedule. And if you do, I'll look forward to seeing you there. Guys, we all know we're facing a lot of challenges. We've faced a lot of challenges most of our life, haven't we? Living in society. Some of us have been through times of war. Some of us have been through times of not enough food. The economy going really badly. Right now, inflation just hit what? 7.5%. Could you even imagine that could happen? And we're having some supply issues. We're having threats of war right now. We've just coming through the COVID and all the drama with that. We have so many things in our education department that are being thrown at our kids. Don't you just sometimes go, what do I do living in a society like this? What do I do? Is there any way I can make a difference in a society like this? I'd like to look at a short book with you this morning and the encouragement Paul gave to that small church and a young preacher who is preaching in that church. I'm going to be in the book of Titus. If you'd like to turn to Titus with me this morning. If you remember, Paul sent the young man Titus to the Isle of Crete. In chapter 1, verse 5 of the book of Titus, Titus is told, Titus, I want you to straighten out what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every city. How many of you like to go into places where they say, we want you to straighten everything out? There's a bit of a mess there, so you guys just go in and straighten things out. I had a congregation, I may have mentioned, in Australia that periodically their elders would call and they say, Kent, there's a difficult subject that our preacher doesn't want to preach on. We're wondering if you'd like to come. Of course I'd love to come over and preach on something that their preacher doesn't want to preach on that's controversial and no one wants to hear about. Of course that's me. I usually would say yes and go, but that's no fun. You know, that's no fun. You've been called in. I've been called in. Can you help get everyone together? People are at odds with each other. Can you help them get back? I was walking around across campus on Friday, and I said hello to a lady. That was a mistake. She said, oh, Kent, I'm so glad to see you. Could you? And she tells me this scenario. And I said, that student is in my class. I will try to make contact with him. I say to my students, and you all know this, I say, I can't solve any of your problems. I can listen, I can love, I can try to help us work through things, but we all have to work things out, don't we? But sometimes if we're called into it, sometimes we can help, as Titus called, to straighten out some things that needed to be to healed and to appoint elders in every city. That's not an easy task either. But the young man Titus is called to do that. And then Paul proceeds to tell him, here's the people that you're going to be working with. Verse 10, Titus 1:10. There are many rebellious people there. Oh, that's a good start. They are mere talkers. They are deceivers. Verse 11, some of these people must be silenced because they're ruining whole households. Who of you wants to go in to tell people, be quiet? Quit saying that stuff. Leave it alone. You can't do it. Okay, well, I've got one volunteer right now, and he's very young, so he hasn't done this yet. But I'm glad he's volunteering to take that on. But who wants to do that? Very few of us do. And he says about the people there, they're always liars. They're evil brutes. Now, that doesn't sound good, does it? What's an evil brute? I don't know, but I don't want any part of it. Do you? And they are lazy gluttons. They eat and eat and take stuff, but they don't really work for it. They get it some other way. And so Paul said, here's who you're going to work with. How many of you have a one-strike policy with someone, and that's kind of it? They tell you one lie, and that's it. I'm up to a three-strike policy with one person right now, and I'm pretty much done, okay? I'm pretty much done. They have told me things that just are not true, that I have told them that is not true, and they just keep coming back and telling me the next porky. Well, really? I'm pretty much finished with that. That's hard, isn't it? And so Titus, who's you're going to work at? Titus, you must rebuke them sharply. Hello, how many of you like to be nice to people? as much as possible. Anybody? I think probably quite a few of us, we just want to be nice people, don't we? We want to be nice to other people. Sometimes being nice is rebuking someone, but most of us don't want to go there because we are afraid of how people will respond. Imagine your young preacher, you're being sent into this town, and you need to go in and rebuke people sharply. And then Paul says in verse 16, they claim to know God, but by their actions they deny him. The way they're living is not good. They are detestable, they're disobedient, and unfit for doing any good. Titus, go get them. Here you go. Here's your assignment. You know, I think I would just say, anybody else available for this one? But Paul sends Titus there to help. So how do you work in a situation like that? I mean, guys, today we see people that they say one thing, and then on TV we're showing they're doing it exactly opposite. They're doing opposite of what they're saying, and those things are hard for all of us, aren't they? How do we work in situations like that? Well, Paul, the first thing that I want us to look at is that Paul encouraged Titus to, number one, appoint elders, verse 8, to appoint elders. Get some spiritual people who will be leaders in the churches you're dealing with. And guys, one of the qualifications for the elder was an elder who loved what is good. Guys, if you're up against evil, you're up against lying, you're up against sin, what do you need? You need some people who love what is good. Secondly, Paul encouraged Titus in chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, to teach the older women to teach what is good. I don't know that he's talking about Bible class situation here. He may be. He may be just a one-on-one situation. It may be some women gathering together and the older women taking a lead with the younger women in teaching them what is good. Ladies, I know a lot of you teach others and you teach by the way that you live, but it seems like Paul was wanting to encourage Titus to teach these ladies and then for them to teach the younger ones what is good. I often ask my students, I say Ephesians chapter 5, husbands are told to love their wives, aren't they? Wives ever told to love their husbands? Most of them, now, wives are not told to love their husbands, and the girls kind of, we're not told to love our husbands. What does Paul say to the women here? Teach the older women to teach what is good, and they can train the younger women to love their husbands. Why do younger women have to be trained to love their husbands? Husbands, I think we are a hard piece of work, and so the women probably need a little bit of assistance in learning to love us, maybe. I don't know, but Paul is trying to get the women to take on responsibility in teaching the younger women and teach them what is good. Through the years, my wife has had the chance, Nancy's had the chance to teach a number of situations. She taught a women in missions course. That was really good. But then she's just had younger women come to her and say, help me with this. When we were in Australia, we had a young girl became a Christian, and she had not grown up in a Christian family, grown up in a very kind of immoral situation. And she said, my daughter, her daughter is a cute little girl, blonde-headed girl. She said she's being chased by the boys, and they keep pulling her ponytail. And my daughter said, Mom, what do I do? I didn't know what to say. When I was a girl, I just turned around and slugged them in the nose and slugged them hard. But I thought, I'm a Christian now. Is that what Christians are supposed to do? Well, there's all sorts of things. We need some training. So she came to Nancy and said, what do I do, Nancy? Nancy said, what do I tell her to do? And I said, sometimes slugging in the nose is probably not a bad idea, you know. But anyway, we didn't encourage that. But, you know, it's younger people need advice of the older people. So Paul I encouraged Titus to get with these younger women and help teach them so they could train others. Number three, Paul emphasized God's grace in chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. Chapter 2, 11 through 14, he says, "The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own." And what are his only very own people? They are eager to do what is good. One of the themes in Titus is what? Do good. Teach good. Be eager to do what is good. Whenever the culture is working against us and everybody's working against us, one of the things sometimes we don't want to do is to do good. We want to, I don't know, maybe clam up a little bit, maybe get in a corner somewhere. Paul says no. And often you see God's grace. When you see God's grace extended to people, what is often followed is, now then, as his people, we do good. We're not working to earn our salvation. We have received our salvation through God's grace. And since we've received our salvation through God's grace and mercy, what do? We're eager to work. We're eager to do what is good. We're eager to serve God out of the blessings that flow from him. And so in this passage, Paul reminds Titus to help the people see, because of God's grace and mercy, we should be eager to do what is good. Guys, I know a lot of you do things that are good, and I'm glad you do. I just want to encourage you in that. Where my brother used to preach at Eastside in Midwest City, they had the defensive line coach for Carl Albert High School as a deacon in their congregation. Anybody know about Carl Albert High School football? They have dominated their division for maybe 15 years. I don't know how many state championships they've won, but an incredible amount. The coach, my brother said, when every player comes in, he gives them a book. These are the things a Carl Albert Titan lives by. We will be honest. We will be truthful. We will be respectful. And if I hear you haven't been, here's the guidelines you have agreed to. You will be off the team. You will not be drinking. You are representing our high school. Well, the defensive line coach said, sometimes we have trouble. Some of the players have no one at home. So they go home after school. Game night, they lose track of time. They don't get to the game in time. Occasionally, they get up to mischief. Okay, number of things. How about we do this? Could we bring on the game day, home game day, that Carl Albert is playing, could we bring them to the Eastside Church of Christ, and the Eastside Church of Christ, feed them their game meal, then we all leave from there, and we go to the stadium and get dressed and play? Eastside Church of Christ, for probably the last 10 to 15 years, has fed Carl Albert High School football team. It's just something that is a good work to help in the community and to bless other people. I know some of you do things for schools. Maybe you take gifts to teachers. Maybe some of you make cookies and take to the fire station. So just being eager to do good. How can we do good? A side benefit of that, my brother told me, was about a year ago, and he hasn't been there for a while at these luncheons. About a year ago, he was driving, left home pretty early and pretty late. Yikes. He might have been speeding a little bit or a lot. He's pulled over. The lights are flashing. He's pulled over. Policeman comes up. "May I see your driver's license?" He looks in at my brother. "Hi, Mr. Hartman. You guys served me I don't know how many meals when I played for Carl Albert High School football team. Can I tell you how much that was a blessing to all of us? I'm going to write you a ticket. No, I'm going to write you a warning and encourage you to slow down and enjoy your day. So there was a little side benefit from the good that had been done. Guys, we're not looking for any kickbacks. We're not looking for anybody to bless us in return. Because of God's grace, we are eager to do good with other people. And occasionally, you might get a side benefit. In chapter 3, verse 1, in the city in Crete, Paul told God's people to be subject to the rulers, to the authorities, to be obedient, and to be ready to do whatever is good. Be ready to do whatever is good. Guys, these people were not to be think-gooders. They were to be people who were doing good. Any of you ever think a really good thought that you need to do and you just didn't get it done? I do that quite a bit. So what Paul is calling for now is not just thinking about it, but being ready to do whatever is good and to do that. And then in chapter 5, verses the fifth thing I want to mention is chapter 3, verses 4 through 8. Paul emphasized kindness and love and God's mercy. Hello, everyone. What is going to follow God's kindness and love and mercy? Let's look in chapter 3 in verses 4. Let's look in chapter 3, verses 4 through 8. The kindness and love of God appeared. He saved us. What's going to follow this? Not because of righteous deeds we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth, that would be baptism, and renewal by the Holy Spirit, the gift of God's Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that by having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who've trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. God's salvation, his grace and mercy. God's people, you're careful to devote yourselves to doing what is good. Okay, kids, are you listening to me? Have you been thinking about someone in the Bible that died, and after she died, people came and were bringing coats and robes and things she had made. She was known for her good works. Anyone remember that lady's name? Anybody? Any of you kids, you got it? Huh? Did someone say it back there? Dorcas? Yes, Dorcas. And that's in Acts chapter 9. She was known for her good works. And people were crying and remembering all the good she had done. And again, I guess the question is, how will you be remembered? And how do you remember people? You remember the lady, they were at the funeral one time, and this lady, she was kind of known for being a gossip and a busybody. And there was another lady in the church that was known for always saying something good about everyone. So everybody thought, well, what is she going to say today? With Miss Gossip Busybody has died, what is this other lady going to say about her? They were all standing around waiting, and someone said something, and they all kind of turned and looked to her, and she said, you know, our sister who passed away, she was always on time. Guys, can you look and find something good about everyone? Can you find something good about people? And can you then engage in good works? I know that many of you are, and I'm just encouraging you on in this. Are you with me? This isn't a lesson where I think nobody is doing anything in this church. No, that's not at all. It's reminding us, because of God's grace and mercy, that we are to be given to good works. How did Peter summarize the ministry of Jesus? In the Gospels, several times, one of my favorite is in Matthew chapter 4, where Matthew says Jesus went around everywhere preaching the good news of the kingdom, teaching in synagogues, and healing everyone. When Peter is talking to Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, how does he summarize the life of Jesus? In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, Peter summarized Jesus' life this way. Jesus went everywhere doing good. Who is Jesus? The Son of God in the flesh. And what is he going to do? He's going to do good. And just think of all the miracles Jesus performed. That's Acts 10:38. All the miracles Jesus performed, all the people he taught, all the people he dealt with that were kind of outcast, but he just did good everywhere he went. Some of us need to hear this passage. We've been involved in serving for many, many years. And wow, do you get worn out sometimes? In the passage that Paul gives to the churches of the Galatians, in Galatians 6, verses 9 through 10, don't be weary in well-doing. How many of us need to hear that passage, that encouragement? And then in verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the household of believers. And I'd like to finish with this passage. I have several, and you're probably thinking of several other passages too. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 is one of those, God's grace and mercy, and we're created to be involved in good works. But the last passage I'd like to finish with is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Let us spur one another on to what? To love and good works. Guys, let me encourage you as we finish the lesson this morning to see Titus sent to a very hard place, a very difficult situation. People who probably wouldn't have liked him, liked his message. He went in, and one of the powerful things he could do was help people be engaged in good works, in serving and loving and ministering to others. Jesus' life was summarized by he was going around everywhere doing good. And let me encourage you to encourage each other and spur one another on in love and good works for the glory of God, not for ourselves. Okay, maybe I shouldn't have said I was going to use one other verse. What is the Sermon on the Mount? Jesus says, let your light shine. Why? So people will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Guys, I am here today just to encourage you on to be, say, I am thankful for you being here, being part of the Lord's body, and encourage you on into love and good works in this community, and to maybe to stimulate your thinking again, what can I do individually to be involved in serving and showing love and being involved in good in other people's lives, and what can we continue to do as a congregation that will bless other people because of the grace and mercy that we have received from God the Father. If there's anyone this morning that needs us to pray for you, would like for us to pray for you this morning, if you have something you'd like to confess for the in front of the congregation that we could pray for and bring that to God, we'd be happy to do that. If someone is ready to be baptized into Christ, the baptism was on yesterday. I think the water was warm, unlike whenever we had most of our baptisms in Australia. The water was cold. It was freezing cold. But the water is warm, and if there's any way we can help you today, if you're ready to become a child of God and put him on in baptism, have your sins washed away, and begin living for God, we'd like to encourage you to do that. If there's any way we can help you spiritually this morning, please let us know. Let's stand together and sing this song of encouragement.